You grew up participating in your family's drumming ensembles. What inspired you to use music in your teachings as well as in your performances to help talk about such big and sometimes really heavy topics?
In Ghana, when we say music, it's not just music. It's more than music. It involves drumming. It involves singing. It involves dancing. It involves theatrical enactment. When I did the research in those former dungeons, the experiences that I had could only be shared through all those elements. It just felt natural to me to just do that because music alone was just not enough. There were parts where I felt that dance will best share what I experienced. There were parts where I felt singing was the best platform or format to share what it is that I experienced in those spaces. Fatu fai fai fatu fatu
kelemandio fatu yo tijajalanu. What prompted you to say, I'm going to go to this place where people were shackled and slaved and experience it?
Here at ISU, I teach a course called Black Music. And in that class, I use videos. And one of the videos that I use is Gorée. And it is based on Gorée Island off the coast of Senegal, where many Africans were enslaved before they were transported across the Atlantic to plantations in the Americas. And one time when I was sharing the video, my students asked me, Dr. Eduonum, have you been to this place before? And I said, no, I've not. And this was in 2007. And okay. They said, you should go. I said, oh, you know what? I think I'll do that. And so I applied for a grant and I received the grant and I went off to Gorée Island. So that is where my journey started in 2008. I was there for about 6 weeks, and then I came back to Ghana, to Elmina Castle in Ghana and also Cape Coast Castle in Ghana. When I showed that video to my students, I wanted them to think about how those spaces could have inspired the formation, the imagination of music for those who were shackled in there. And so when I went through those spaces, I was also thinking what types of music could be found, you know, imagined in these spaces. We're talking about Africans who come from a long tradition of drumming and dancing and all this stuff. And here they were shackled. It was, again, trying to understand this music, the sound, the moaning and the groaning and the falsetto singing and everything else that comes with this music. And I felt as if these spaces could give me a clue as to how the music sound the way they do or how the music were reimagined in these spaces.
You say, as part of the performance piece, you visited the dead to learn from them in Ghana. How has that changed or inspired the way that you have taught or inspired what you have done in Walking with My Ancestors now?
Well, you know, in Ghana, we have several proverbs and several philosophical teachings. And one of them is Sankofa. And Sankofa says or teaches us that we need to go back to our past, learn from our past in order to move forward. When I said the past has something to say and I'll go back home to the dungeons and I visited the spirits of the dead, it's really going back to the past to learn from the past in order to propel to move forward. In my teaching, I'll always go back to the past and make those connections for my students, for them to understand that this music didn't just come from nowhere. It has roots. It has a past. When I'm teaching Black music, I just don't teach Black music in this country or in the diaspora. I'll go back to Africa and talk about the foundations of that music, the sense of community, how the sense of community informs how the music is organized. And then with that foundation, we move on to see, well, how much has changed? Why did this change? How much did the long walk or the long march or the dungeons, how much did those experiences impact the music, the sound, the movement that accompanies this music?
What did your family or your students and your colleagues say to you when you decided to go explore the dungeons over the course of 5 months and you got sick and you had an injury?
Well, my parents didn't know I was doing this. I didn't tell my children either because I was there in Ghana with my children. I didn't tell them However, after 2 weeks, my body shut down. I was very, very sick. My children had also noticed that I had been disconnected. I wasn't talking with them. I wasn't singing to them. I wasn't sharing stories with them. And I got sick. So I had to come. I told them what was going on, what had been happening. My children were like, "Mom, you know you love to do this, but it's not helping you." And my parents told me that I needed supervision, they needed counseling. And they told me to quit because it was having such a huge impact on how I connected with the people around me. When I came out once, one of the tourists asked me why I was doing this. And I said, I want to know. This is research. And I feel there's no other way to know. I mean, I've read books, I've watched videos, and I'm still not getting a sense, a true understanding, profound understanding of what really happened those days. And they told me I was crazy. One student just told me, "Dr. Duonum, if I hadn't really seen you in person in this classroom, I would have said you were crazy."
It's a really heavy topic, and then the responses are also very heavy. Do you ever feel like it wasn't worth it, or do you feel defeated by it?
It never defeated me. It always inspires me. It always motivates me. That is what really inspires me in the classroom when I teach and when I perform, being able to share the story, this experience that most people don't even think about. Most people don't even know that there were places such as these where Africans were shackled and kept for months before they were placed on the boats across the Atlantic. And so for me, this is a very important topic, very important subject that needs to be shared. And I feel inspired to be the mouthpiece to fill this gap that is often in my mind is missing when we talk about, slavery and enslavement.
I know it's a topic that I'm sure a lot of people are uncomfortable about and uncomfortable talking about. What do you hope that people take away from it?
If we are uncomfortable, how did they who went through those spaces, how did they feel? We have to be bold and brave to really face the truth of what happened. I hope that people are going to leave this performance and this showcase inspired, knowing that some people survived. And also to know that the human spirit is a very powerful spirit that can overcome a lot and will fight, will resist in order to survive. But also to tell truth, to be uncomfortable. Because therein lies knowledge. When we are uncomfortable, that is when I think we are moved and shifted to rethink what we've accepted as our truths. And we are challenged to think otherwise, to expand our thinking and our knowledge. So I do hope people who experience my work think about those who went through, empathize, and also think deeply about how this history really connects us all. It informs us all. We all experience and have benefited from this history, and it needs to be told and shared.